Welcome to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randall. Dive into the live courtroom drama as we bring you unfiltered audio from one of the most riveting trials of the year. Accused of multiple marital murders, Randall's fate unfolds before us. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. This is Dark Vows.
You included Tommy Randolph on that list, didn't you?
I don't recall, but okay, yes.
Okay.
I won't dispute it.
He actually had the ability to go pick up your child, right?
Yes.
And you trusted him with your child, didn't you?
Yes.
Nothing further.
No, Your Honor. Do the ladies and gentlemen of the jury have any questions for this witness? Okay, seeing no response. Ma'am, you are excused. Thank you very much for your testimony here today. Thank you. May I call your next witness?
I just want to make sure he's out there.
Okay.
Just give me 1 second.
Sure.
I'll call Michael Byer to the stand. Watch your step on the way up. Remain standing. Raise your right hand. Please start the prayer.
You do solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give in this action will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Please be seated.
You can state and spell your name for the record, please.
It's Michael Byer. Both names?
Please.
Okay. It's Michael Byer. Sorry, I want to make sure and silence my phone.
Okay.
I'll let him finish and I'll jump in.
Okay.
Sir, if you could, do you know someone by the name of Colleen Byer?
I do.
How do you know Colleen?
She is my wife.
How long have you guys been married for?
19 years.
Do you know someone by the name of Sharon Randolph?
I do.
And what was your relationship to her?
She was my mother-in-law.
Do you know someone by the name of Thomas Randolph?
I do.
Do you see Thomas Randolph here in the courtroom?
Right there.
Okay, could you please, I saw that you pointed, but if you could, please describe maybe an article of clothing that he's wearing.
He's wearing a white shirt.
Okay. Tie or no tie?
No tie.
All right, let the record reflect the witnesses identify the defendant.
The record so reflects.
All right. So how did you know, what was your relationship to Mr. Randolph?
He was married to my mother-in-law.
Okay, understood. So, if you could, explain to the jury, as far as you know, how did the defendant and Sharon meet?
They met online.
Okay. And how long was the dating period, as far as you know? Was it a long courtship, or was it fairly quick?
It was fairly short.
Okay. About ballpark. What do you think?
A matter of months.
All right. Now, prior to Sharon dating the defendant, she was married before. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that marriage, how long was that marriage?
Years.
Okay.
A long time. 20 plus years.
Okay. What's your understanding about, so they date for a couple months, and then Do they go somewhere to get hitched? What do you remember?
I had heard something about them getting married in Mexico.
Right. And then is there any other ceremonies?
And then later in Las Vegas.
All right. From what you could perceive, at the beginning of this relationship, how was Sharon? How did she feel about the relationship at the beginning, as far as you could observe?
She seemed like she was having a great time and that she was happy.
All right. Well, what sort of things did they do that you remember back in the day?
Oh, they'd go eat dinner, go see bands.
Ever take any trips?
They took trips, yeah.
Whereabouts?
Well, ones that I remember were we'd seen them in San Diego.
Okay.
We actually went on trips with them sometimes.
Was there like a place that you guys would stay at in San Diego?
Yeah, it was Sharon's friend Alice. It was her apartment. Her and her husband owned a small apartment building there, and they kept one for themselves.
Okay. So they do that sort of thing. They ever go into concerts locally?
Yeah, they would go to concerts. They would go to see bands play.
Yellow Brick Road, one of them?
Yep, Yellow Brick Road.
Okay. By the way, are you in the music industry to some extent?
I am.
All right. What do you do in the music industry?
I'm an audio engineer. I do sound.
Okay.
I have been my whole life.
All right. Do you start to observe when you see Sharon that there's maybe a change in this relationship between her and Tom?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you start seeing out of Sharon as kind of the months go by? What do you start seeing that's different?
Things got tense. She was upset a lot. She would come to our house upset, crying about being left, you know, that Tom would take off and supposedly go stay with his girlfriend, do whatever. He would leave. She would be upset.
Okay.
Crying.
And so she'd come over, you'd see her crying.
She'd come over, she would sit with my wife and talk about it for long periods of time.
And this was not an isolated thing. It sounds like this was a frequent thing, or at least a repeated thing.
Fleeting.
Oh, didn't suggest the answer.
Hold on just one second.
Okay.
Council approach.
How often did this happen?
It happened at least several times that I remember.
Okay.
Including over Christmas, around the holidays, it was a very strange thing. He took off. She was upset. They were at odds. He had supposedly went and hung out with his girlfriend.
What was her name?
Her name was, now you're going to ask me that. Lizzie.
Okay. From what you could observe, did that upset Colleen as well, to see your mother?
Yes. It upset her greatly.
How did it make you feel?
Made me
feel.
We'll move on.
Okay.
So, this is happening at Christmas time.
Yes.
Let me ask you about the defendant for a second. Did you, where did the defendant work?
He didn't work as far as I knew. I never saw him work.
Let's talk about the defendant's social network. How many friends did you see the defendant hang out with?
I never saw him hang out with a friend until the very end, near the very end of all this, when Michael Miller appeared.
The handyman?
Yes.
What do you remember about the appearance of Michael Miller? What do you remember about that?
that was very odd, and it was not something I expected. And he didn't seem like he wanted to be there a lot of the time. You know, the times that I had seen him.
No, it's a lay observation of the witness.
He can testify to what it is that he saw.
Please repeat your answer, sir.
So, yeah, he was around a lot, went to dinners, and he just seemed kind of like, a lot of times he just was distant, didn't want to be there.
From what you recall, were they close in age?
No, not that I could tell. It didn't seem to be.
Had you ever seen the defendant bring over any other handymans to hang out?
No.
In all the months leading up, no other handymans came over for dinner?
Nope.
So when you see this man show up at, where would you see Mike Miller appear? Where was he? When would you see him show? Where would you see him show up?
He would show up for dinners, because that's usually when I'd be over there.
Just to be clear, at whose house?
At Sharon's house.
Okay. So what are you thinking when you see this guy?
Objection, is too relevant.
I think it's relevant given the family dynamic.
He can testify to what he was thinking.
Yeah, I thought it was very odd, because I never saw him with any other friends. And this was definitely the last person I thought I would see him hang out with. And then he would have him come over and do odd jobs for what I felt were large amounts of money.
I want to talk about that. Let's talk about what you're addressing right now. Mm-hmm. What type of work do you remember seeing Mr. Miller tasked to do?
Clean the garage was one of the main thing I saw him do, because I actually witnessed right when they finished.
How much money do you recall the defendant paying Michael Miller to clean a garage?
I was told back then.
That's the way he was told.
Well, let me lay the foundation. Did the defendant ever tell you how much he paid Michael Miller?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you tell me what the defendant told you he paid Michael Miller?
$300.
To clean a garage.
To help clean a garage. It wasn't a solo event.
Did the defendant have any more comments about paying this guy money?
Just that he was working for him, okay, and he was paying him. And through my wife and others, I had heard that he was...
It's okay. Let's try to... If you can just focus on... We don't want to get into statements that other people told you. We just want to focus on kind of what you recall.
Sure.
That's okay. All right?
That's the same.
Do you recall the defendant ever complaining about having to continue to pay Mr. Miller money?
No.
All right. Were there any other projects that you remember happening at this house?
There was a supposed roof project that was supposed to happen that never happened. I heard lots of talk about it.
Judge, objection is to conversations.
Well, I'll rephrase just for a second.
Okay, so
did Mr. Miller...
Sir, if you could just make sure you listen to the questions he's specifically asking and just answer that.
Sure.
You mentioned a roof. Did the defendant ever tell you about this roof project?
Yes.
Okay. What did he tell you about the roof project?
That they were going to fix the roof. They were going to work on the roof.
And by they... Who was he talking
to? Michael Miller and Thomas Randolph.
So in the days and weeks of you coming by, how much improvement did you see in the roof?
I did not.
But would you see Mr. Miller over at that house?
Yes.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about the defendant's personality? How would you characterize it?
That's a good question. At times, very manic.
Okay. Would you characterize him as a quiet person?
No.
If there's maybe people are sitting around for dinner, who is dominating the conversation?
Thomas Randolph would always dominate the conversation.
All right. When you would see Mr. Miller sitting or being around the defendant who dominated the conversation.
Thomas Randolph.
Do you recall an Easter dinner before your mother-in-law was killed?
I do.
If you could tell me, who attended that dinner?
It was my wife and child. Actually, children. My stepson was there as well. And my mother-in-law and Michael Miller and Thomas Randolph.
What did you think about Miller coming to the dinner table?
It seemed very odd.
Why?
Because we didn't know him. And he was not acquainted with us. He was not an old friend. He was not in the family.
What was Mr. Miller's demeanor like during that dinner?
Subdued, like he had a lot on his mind. And I tried to coax conversation out of him. It was very difficult.
Okay. I want to ask you about the backyard in Sharon's home. Was there a pool in the backyard?
Yes. After Thomas Randolph moved in, they decided to put a pool in.
Whose idea was it for the pool?
I was told it was Thomas's.
I want to talk to you about Sharon for a second and money, okay? Mm-hmm. Based on your observations, was Sharon good at managing money?
No.
What did you observe that gave you, what led you to that opinion, sir?
She liked to gamble. She liked to buy things. She shopped quite often, but spent a lot of time gambling as well.
Were you aware of a nest egg kind of left behind by Philippe after he passed?
Yes.
What is your understanding that happened to, of what happened to that money?
That they spent it. She spent it.
Okay. Did the defendant ever make comments to you about Sharon's spending habits?
Many times.
Please share his comments.
He said, I love her, but she spends a ton of money and she needs to stop it. It's crazy.
Okay. Was this a singular statement or something different?
It was a repetitive statement. There were many similar statements.
All right. I want to turn you on that topic. Did you have an opportunity to interact with the defendant after Sharon had been killed?
Yes.
Did that topic of Sharon spending money come up?
Yes.
What did the defendant tell you? And let's just set the stage for a second. How many days after are you having this conversation?
I would say this was within a month to 40 days of her demise.
Okay. Is this at a particular event? Is it over the phone? What do you remember?
He would call and talk.
Call you?
Yes.
Okay. What are the things that he is saying about Sharon and her spending habits, even after she's dead?
He seemed upset at her for her spending, even after she was gone.
What was he saying?
Just that she spent a ton of money and now I got to get money and I've got to find, ways to make money.
Okay.
He seemed preoccupied with money.
After Sharon is killed, do you start to receive phone calls from the defendant?
Yes.
What does he start talking to you about?
He was mentioning that he was going to come into some money from the estate. He was going to spend money on us. He was going to invest in a studio with me. He kept kind of pushing that at me, which is something I had never asked about.
How did you find that whole conversation?
Extremely odd.
At the time, had the will been settled yet?
I don't know what you mean by settled.
Well,
there was more than one.
Right. These two wills were kind of floating out in existence.
Yes.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Do conversations like that happen before the defendant becomes aware there's a second will?
No. Once he found there was a second will, that never happened again.
Those conversations?
Yes, those conversations never happened again.
Okay, so just for clarity's sake, if I'm hearing correctly, is I'm going to invest in you, things like that. That is before he's aware that the will exists, the second will, and when the second will exists, those conversations
yes,
stop.
They stop.
Okay.
Immediately.
Did the defendant ever have any conversations with you or comment on the fact that he saw other women, or Lizzie in particular?
Yeah. He would mention it in passing many times in conversations around, even at Sharon's house. And I always thought it was very odd to talk about a girlfriend at your wife's house.
Okay.
And it came up many times. I used to hear her name a lot.
Okay. How about after her death?
After her death, maybe once or twice in conversation.
Okay. Do you recall him commenting on that specifically about his ability to see other women?
Yeah, there was a point where he was talking about Sharon about it one day, and he said, "Man, I loved her, but nobody tells me who I can be with." And it was a lot more
colorful,
gross, and colorful than that.
Okay.
But it was very manic the way it was said, with a good deal of anger.
Just to be on the scope of your question.
Sure. Do you recall the defendant complaining about Sharon's spending habits just days after she passed away?
Yeah, definitely within a week or two.
Okay. And what was he saying during that time window?
Just that she spent a lot of money and he needed money.
Okay. Do you recall having the opinion you felt as if he was scolding her?
Yes.
And this is days after she passed.
Yeah.
Court's indulgence. I have no further questions for this witness.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hello.
Now, I want to go back a little bit in time. There was a situation where your wife was in turmoil with Sharon, right?
There was a period.
Your wife, Colleen, was upset with the way Sharon had treated Philippe.
Thank you.
There was difficulty between your wife and Sharon regarding Philippe, correct?
Yes.
Philippe had passed away.
Yes.
From cancer.
Yes.
Fair to say that you described Sharon as irresponsible teenager blowing through $200,000. Do you remember telling the police that? And the police asked you, did Sharon do that before she met Tommy Randall? Do you remember that?
Yes.
And you assured the police that before Sharon had met Tommy Randolph, Sharon had blown through the inheritance from Philippe, $200,000.
Through at least a good portion of it.
Okay. And that was gambling?
She spent on many things, but gambling is part of it.
But you called her irresponsible. Do you remember using that term?
With money, yeah.
An irresponsible teenager. Correct?
At that point, yeah.
And fair to say that your wife was not happy with her mother, Sharon, based on that conduct?
At that time, yes.
And they didn't speak for quite a period of time. Your mother and...
My mother-in-law. Excuse me.
Your wife and Sharon, right?
Yes.
And it's further clear that before... So... Your wife was also very unhappy with the way your mother had treated Philippe in the end of his life. Dating other men?
Yes, soon after his death, yes.
And while he was dying?
I don't know about that part.
Okay. Before I go any further, I'm curious about Mike Miller being over at Easter. Mm-hmm. Remember talking about it was sort of inappropriate. What was he doing there? Remember that?
Yes.
You didn't know him, did you?
No.
What was wrong with Mr. Miller? What was it about him that made you think, this man who I don't know shouldn't be sitting at a table with us? What was it?
He was acting very standoffish. He seemed like he had some inner turmoil. And... sometimes acted like he didn't want to be there, it seemed like.
Was that the only reason? Was there something about his age or the way he looked or anything like that?
No.
No? So you told the jury that Mr. Randolph would leave at important holidays and go off with Lizzie, and this was upsetting.
Yes.
To them. But you also told the police and you've told the jury that at Easter... Shortly before this incident, Mr. Randolph was at home with Sharon and the family, you, the kids, Mike Miller, right? Is that a yes?
Yes.
So at least we know on that important vacation shortly before, Thomas Randolph was with Sharon and the family, right?
Sure.
Okay. And you know that within a couple of days of the incident, you know what I mean, the shooting. That Tommy had gone off with Sharon to celebrate Mother's Day at Santa Fe.
You knew that, right?
So at least on that important vacation or important holiday, Sharon and Tommy were together, correct?
Yes.
And in fact, before the Santa Fe meal, they had been in Utah together for a week, right?
Yes.
And you knew that after the meal, or the time that they were at Santa Fe for Mother's Day, they were going to go again to Utah, right?
That was the plan that I'd heard.
So just so we get the time frame right, week before the incident, husband and wife together in Utah, right?
Yeah.
When they're back in Las Vegas, they're going out to celebrate a nice steak meal to celebrate Mother's Day, correct?
They went to a meal, yes.
And then this husband and wife were going to go back to Utah, correct?
That was the plan that I'd heard.
Isn't it fair to say, in fact, you did tell police, that you heard a lot of information after the incident, not just from news, but from other people, and even the police? Do you remember saying that?
I had a lot of people ask me a lot of things, yeah.
And you told the police that even people in the police department had given you information, right?
They'd given me information that they had.
I don't want you to tell me what it is. I just want you to tell me, were people providing you information? And did you tell that to the police?
Yeah, they provided me some.
Okay. So you were hearing a lot of information about this case that wasn't your personal knowledge. In other words, people were telling you what they thought.
Not much.
Not much. Do you remember telling the police that you were hearing different accounts from the news and police people? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're a little concerned about Mike Miller, right? It's a little off, right? Is that what you're saying?
Sure.
So you have a pigeon problem at your house?
Yes. Okay. We did.
Yeah, and Mike Miller helped with the pigeon problem, right?
Yeah, supposedly. I wasn't there when he did it.
You learned that from your wife, didn't you?
I did.
And it made you mad, didn't it?
Made me mad.
It make you upset that Michael Miller was at your house.
I didn't like the fact that someone I didn't know was working on my house. No.
And that was told to you by your wife?
Correct.
So we know that Michael Miller, at least your wife trusted him enough to come over and help with this pigeon problem, right?
No. It was at the behest of Tommy and Sharon.
Your wife was the one that told you that Michael Miller had come over to help, correct? Was Michael Miller at your house to fix the pigeon problem?
You already asked me that.
And the answer is yes, right?
The answer is yes.
You talked about today that there was $300 to clean the garage.
Yes.
Have you ever said that before, ever?
Yes, I have.
You said that in your statement?
I've said that to detectives.
In a statement?
I've said it to detectives.
How many times have you talked to detectives?
Several.
They recorded a statement from you, right?
Sure.
Is there more than one recorded statement, sir?
I don't know. You might want to ask the detectives.
Sir, when your statement was recorded, did you actually see the tape recorder out? Did you know they were tape recording?
Sure.
Okay. Did you see them recording more than one time?
I don't know. It was a long time ago.
How many times do you think you talked to detectives? A number, approximately.
I just told you several.
Okay.
And it depends on what you mean by that. Okay. I had to meet them over at the house several times for them to investigate.
Would you say you talked to police about this case more than 5 times?
Yeah.
More than 10 times?
No.
So between 5 and 10?
Yeah, sure.
There came a time when the police came over and they spread out a white towel. Do you remember this incident? It was white.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a white towel put on a table of some type.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
And all this jewelry was spread out over it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
And who was present when this occurred?
My wife was present.
And were you present?
Yes.
And police were present?
Yes.
But Thomas Randolph was not present?
No.
And this is a time where, what happened with the jewelry? Did your wife take it, or did the police take it, or how did that happen?
I don't recollect what happened with it.
Do you recall the police at any point ever confiscating the jewelry?
I don't recall.
Do you recall your wife taking possession of the jewelry?
As far as I know, she did, but it was a long time ago.
You've talked about Mr. Miller being a handyman and doing work over at the house, right? Mm-hmm. Right? With regard to Mr. Randolph, did you know he was retired? Did you know he was retired from
the state? But who was retired?
You knew he was retired.
No, that who was retired?
Thomas Randolph.
Thomas Randolph.
From the state of Indiana. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Okay. Did you say that, do you recall saying that Mr. Randolph was in pain a lot?
He acted like he was in pain.
But you also said that through the pain, he would work quite hard and get a lot of things done.
Yeah.
So, if I understand you right, he would make some noises when he was picking things up, groan, moan.
Yes, okay. Of course.
But he would work through it, and sometimes you're actually surprised at how much work he was able to accomplish, right?
Yeah. Okay.
You thought he, Mr. Randolph, was taking prescription drugs, and sometimes it would make him look lethargic.
No.
You never thought that sometimes he barely even looked lucid?
No, there were... He would, when he would retire for the night or after dinner, which is kind of typical.
Do you remember telling the police that sometimes he was on prescription pains and that he was barely on the edge of lucidity? Do you remember saying that, yes or no?
Yeah, I guess I did say that.
Mr. Randolph called you the day after this incident came, just to refresh your memory. The incident occurred in the evening of May 8th. Do you recall talking to Mr. Randolph on the 9th?
I do. He called me in the morning.
And told you what had happened?
Yep.
He told you Mike Miller had shot Sharon?
Yes.
And you indicated to him that you thought maybe you should be the one to tell your wife?
Yes.
And did you, in fact, tell your wife?
I did, but she already knew.
He told you it was horrible. Tommy told you what happened and it was horrible, didn't he? Thomas called you after this incident, right? He called you a few times.
Yes.
You talked to Tommy about funeral arrangements, didn't you?
He called about them.
He paid for the funeral, didn't he?
Yeah.
How much did Tommy pay for the funeral, if you know?
I don't remember.
It was thousands, though. It was a nice funeral. I'll rephrase it. It was a nice funeral, wasn't it?
It was a funeral.
And Tommy paid for it.
Yeah, to my knowledge, he did, yeah.
You talked to Tommy, and he talked with you about trying to remain a family after the incident. Fair? State of mind of this witness and of the declarant. I'll rephrase it.
Okay.
I agree. Sharon had tattoos?
Yeah, she had a couple.
Does she have a tattoo of...
Is your objection relevant?
Yes, it is.
Mr. Arnold?
Relevance of having TR tattooed on him.
Okay. That's overruled.
Do you know if Sharon had TR, being Thomas Randolph, the initials, tattooed on her?
I have no idea. She had a couple of tattoos and never paid attention.
Okay. That concludes cross-examination. Sorry, could I just, one more area. You said that there was a roof problem. Do you remember that? And it wasn't fixed, right?
They were talking about needing to fix the roof.
What was wrong with the roof?
I don't know.
Have you ever seen, you know, there's lots of pictures of the roof.
Yeah.
Did you ever see anything and thought, well, there's a hole in the roof and it just hasn't been fixed because you didn't see any progress?
There was something odd over the garage that needed to be fixed. I remember that. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Over the garage?
Yes.
But you don't remember what it was?
No, this is a long time ago.
Well, when the prosecutor asked you questions on direct, I thought he asked you about this roofing project. And I thought you said that when you went over there, you really hadn't seen any progress.
Yeah, I hadn't seen any... anything torn off, nothing done to it, no.
So what was the problem with the roof that wasn't fixed?
I don't know, they kept talking about needing to fix it.
But you just don't know what it is?
I don't remember, no.
So when you say you went over there and you didn't see any progress, you can tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I don't really know what was wrong with the roof in the first place because I can't identify anything in pictures that was wrong with the roof.
No, it was a project they kept talking about. That they wanted to do, that they had to do, and I never saw them touch that roof.
How often did you see Michael Miller over at that house?
A few times.
How many?
Two, three times.
Two or three times?
Yes.
And when were those two or three times?
The Easter dinner.
Okay.
And maybe a couple of times in passing when I was stopping by after work.
So you really didn't see what Michael Miller was doing over there unless you were there those two or three times, correct?
Yeah, except for the time he worked on the garage. I saw that right when they finished it.
Okay. And so you saw Michael Miller actually helping out doing odd jobs?
Yeah. Okay. The garage was definitely clean.
Okay. Nothing further.
Were you representing?
No.
Do the ladies and gentlemen of the jury have any questions for this witness? Okay, seeing no response, sir, we'd like to excuse. Thank you very much for your testimony here today. Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, we are going to take our afternoon recess. During this recess, you must not discuss or communicate with anyone, including fellow jurors, in any way regarding this case or its merits, either by voice, phone, email, text, internet, or other means of communication or social media. You must not read, watch, list any news or any accounts or commentary about this case. You must not do any research, such as consult dictionaries, using the internet, or using records to hear. You must not make any investigation, test the theory of the case, recreate any aspect of the case, or in any other way investigate or learn about the case on your own. And you must not form or express any opinion regarding this case or the advice submitted to you. Ladies and gentlemen, 3:10 will be in recess at 3:20.
You're listening to Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph. There's more raw courtroom drama ahead as we bring you unfiltered audio from trial. Join us as we navigate the testimonies, the tension, and the truth behind the headlines. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a minute. More Dark Vows, the trial of Thomas Randolph, next.